السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا Welcome to Radio Islam International Yes indeed today we begin with the panel discussion And with us our guest today inshallah will be Mona Muhammad Vanka and Mona Ismail Basa And we shall be discussing with regards to career choices, career paths As well as with regards to the students who are currently writing the matric exams With us on the line we first welcome Mona Muhammad Vanka السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته زبولنا السلام عليكم to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International
and we also welcome Mona Ismail Basa Mona السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
Mawlana, our guest and the listeners of Radio Islam.
Mawlana Muhammad, we begin with today's panel discussion and inshallah we continue with discussing with regards to our learners. Approximately currently 700,000 learners are writing matric exams and many of them would have might have chosen their career path a number of years ago. Whilst many others might still be considering their options, ideally, can you tell us when is the right time to choose a career path?
Okay, barakallahu feekum, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmatuhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem, amma ba'd. Respected listeners, we begin by praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we send countless blessings, salutations upon our leader and master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to choosing a career which would determine the future of an individual, what tends to happen, I think this is something which is very, very pertinent, especially in this day and age, where we deal with many of the youth and we deal with parents, and one of the biggest challenges that many students face is the pressure that they get from the parents, where the father and the mother want the child to venture out into a certain field. They want them to become perhaps become a doctor or become an accountant, and on the other hand, the interest of the child is elsewhere. And we find that this is a major problem. There are many youngsters that they have spoken to us, who have cited these concerns that we want to take a certain route and our parents want us to take another route. So I think number one is that we need to support our children in their endeavors, in their intentions, inshallah. You're trying to enforce something upon a child where he's not interested in. So he's not going to achieve the optimum, maximum results. So inshallah, what we should do is that we need to encourage our children. We need to sit down with them and see what are the intentions, what they would like to pursue, and let us support them, inshallah. So the question is that, when should we ideally start, searching or moving in that direction? This generally happens when a child is in grade 10 or grade 11 in school, then he should have some sort of idea as to what I would like to achieve in life. What is my goal in life? What are the aspirations I have in life? To leave it right up to the matric year as you're coming to the tail end of the year, at times it's a little too late. Your career should be chosen, perhaps when you're in grade 10, maybe grade 11, or in the early part of grade 12. At least you should have some indication, some idea as to what you would like to, achieve in life.
Yes, and Ismail, maybe you can tell us, looking at this year now that they've chosen their career, some people think that, with regards to careers, the career with the biggest pay, with the biggest paycheck would bring them the most happiness and it would bring peace to their lives. Should this be the sole criteria or what should be the criteria for choosing a career?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmadu wa nusalli ala rasulih al-kareem, amma ba'd. Unfortunately, we live in a time and an era where everything, every aspect of life, every sphere of life is driven by monetary gain, is driven by wealth. We take our cue from the Quran al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati al-dunya. Wealth, children, this is beautification of the worldly life. It's not the purpose of the worldly life, it is beautification of the worldly life. Now, it's also important to differentiate between a person receiving a paycheck and the result of the paycheck. The paycheck could result in happiness. At the same time, it could result in unhappiness. So it does not necessarily result in happiness. the two differentiating factors, asbabul farah and farah, the means of happiness and happiness in itself. Does money bring happiness? So we know that money is only a means of happiness. It is not real happiness. Real and ultimate happiness is in connecting oneself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whilst it might be one factor to consider in choosing a career, it is not the ultimate factor. It is one of the many factors. You cannot state that I am choosing a career only because I like the career, only because I have an inclination towards it, and I have no concern for the paycheck. No, it is one of the factors to consider. A person has to earn a livelihood. A person has to support his or her family. But it should not be the ultimate goal. It should not be the ultimate goal. At the end of the day, we are human beings, and we should be serving the ummah on a small scale, on a large scale, whatever position we are in, and that should be a means of bringing us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than distancing us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You know, that's a very interesting point that you have made with regards to, you know, choosing the career that you want to, especially that, you know, the main objective, the main maqsad should be that we choose a career that is going to be pleasing unto Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will help us be a means of, you know, assistance to those around us as well. Ma Muhammad, maybe you can tell us, how should people deal with conflict that may come about between a parent and a child when choosing a career? You know, many a times the parents want, we are, you know, especially in certain countries where the parents, when the child is born or when the child is growing up, they want the child to become a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, and the child has other aspirations. The child wants to do something totally different from what the parent actually really wanted the child to do. So how should people deal with these conflicts?
Yep, I think this is something which is vital, it's something which is important, and we touched on it briefly in the beginning. I think as parents, we play an integral role in the upbringing and the nurturing, you know, of our children. And many students today, you know, they would tell you openly, I am doing this year because my father wants me to become a doctor. I'm doing this year because my mother wants me to pursue, you know, this particular academic career. So I think what we need to do as parents, end of the day, we need to sit down with our children, and many of us tend to, you know, throw this at them, that, you know what, I am your father, you do what I tell you, you don't tell me what to do, I will tell you what to do, and you follow what I tell you. It doesn't work that way. You know, we need to embrace our children, we need to see what's in the interest of our children. If their interest is in a certain field, let us encourage them, inshallah. You know, what is the motivating factor, like Maulana had mentioned just now, is to serve humanity, to being an asset to humanity. You know, it's not that because my brother's son became a doctor, my son also has to become a doctor, or because my brother's daughter had pursued a certain field, my daughters also have to go into that field. It's not a matter of that. We need to see what interest, we need to take interest in those things that interest our children. So if they intend, you know, going down a certain route, we need to sit down with them and come to some mutual agreement and understanding. However, if what our child chooses, if this is something which is detrimental, you know, to his deen, it's something which is detrimental, you know, to his dunya, and then of course that's it, we should intervene, and we need to guide our children. You do not want to extend all your resources, and you don't want your child to spend years on end, and after qualifying he cannot add value to his own life and add value to humanity. So I think it's a balancing act that we need to play as parents. If our children want to pursue a certain career, if there is goodness in it, if there is benefit in it, inshallah we should try and support our children in choosing their career, inshallah.
A question coming in here, the parent wants to know that, you know, the child wants to choose the opposite career, the parent feels that it would be better for the child to choose a certain career. How does a parent go about advising? In what manner does a parent advise the child?
As Maulana had touched on and discussed, a parent might see a career beneficial to the child, but the child has an inclination to another career. At the end of the day, la ikraha fi din, we shouldn't force in deen. When it comes to dunya, there's flexibility. If we, with all wisdom and with all understanding, we discuss it with the child and we put it forward to the child that by considering this career, these are the benefits to it. These are the pros, these are the cons, and consider what the child has in mind and consider what the child feels might be a better career for them, and try and discuss it with the child. It's important to have an open communication with the child. It's possible that the child is choosing another career due to friends. It's possible the child is choosing another career due to other factors. We don't know. So there must be an open communication between the parents to identify what is the reason that my child is choosing such a career, and why should I encourage my child to choose another career. So it depends on each individual situation and each condition. At the end of the day, we need to consider both sides. Let us not enforce and push it on the child. The result would be a rebellion. The result would be a successful result, and no one will win at the end of the day. So we need to keep both sides in mind.
Ma Muhammad, with regards to, you know, some of with careers and with many of the choices, what are some of the recommended careers in which there are opportunities, especially for a Muslim?
Okay, I think this is a very vast aspect. Perhaps if you look at it locally, like Maulana had mentioned in the beginning, when we speak to many, many children today, the only concern is how much of money can I earn at the end of the month? What can I earn? How can I make a name for myself? That should not be the end result. That should not be the end all and be all in us choosing a career. We need to see what would benefit humanity. At the same time, I can earn a good salary. I can earn a livable wage. The objective, the fundamental reason as to why I am pursuing a career is to serve humanity. Subhanallah. What did the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? At-tajir as-saduq al-ameen ma'an nabiyyin. That a trustworthy, a honest, a diligent, a upright businessman will be with the prophets on the day of Qiyamah. So a person can engage in trade and commerce, in economics, and a person would get the reward if your intention is noble, if your intention is clear. On the day of Qiyamah, you would be on par with the prophets. Subhanallah. So we need to see what would benefit us. Where is the inclination? Where does the heart incline towards? Where does perhaps my expertise lie? You'll find many children today, or many of our youth today, who are going through the last few years of their schooling career. Some of them, they are very inclined towards economics, business economics. Some of them towards engineering. Some of them towards medicine. And this is something which is very, very encouraging, mashallah. We travel to, when we visit some universities, and you find there are so many youngsters pursuing medicine. Alhamdulillah, these are Muslim youngsters. And in different fields. So I think just to generalize and be specific and focus only on one, perhaps one career, becoming a doctor or becoming an accountant, I don't think it would be fair, because there is a need across the board. We need doctors, we need accountants, we need, we need attorneys also. But what we also encourage students today, and this is something which alhamdulillah, the ulama have been doing in the recent past, is that together with your academic career, let us inshallah side by side, study the Islamic perspective of that. So we can acquaint ourselves with the knowledge of both the worlds, with the knowledge of dunya and the knowledge of akhirah. It adds a different dimension. In many of our Darul Ulooms, alhamdulillah, we find there are some students who have qualified academically, and now they are pursuing the Islamic studies side by side. And on the other hand, there are some of our students who have qualified as ulama, and after qualifying as ulama, they have pursued their studies, academically. So this, in my humble opinion, in fact, recently, a few months ago, when we traveled to the United Kingdom and we engaged with some senior scholars and senior ulama, I've noticed that in some of the Darul Ulooms, they have been encouraging their students, together with becoming an alim, together with acquiring the sciences of deen, to also pursue an academic career. So if a person has the knowledge of deen, for example, a person is studying law, you're studying Islamic jurisprudence, you have the Islamic law, you study the law of the land, this is the ideal situation. So inshallah, when you are out there, when there are disputes, there are arbitrations, to resolve, you can apply your mind, with the Islamic principles. As you have the knowledge of the Islamic principles, and you have the knowledge of the law of the land. And alhamdulillah, there are many of our ulama today, who apart from acquiring, of course, this is the ultimate. To acquire the knowledge of deen, this is the ultimate. But at the same time, this in no way suggests that a person should not pursue an academic career. To acquire the knowledge of deen, that is the ultimate. End of the day, that is our akhirah. We are planning and we are paving a way for our akhirah. But this in no way suggests that if a person is pursuing an academic career, a person cannot attain his akhirah through that. Subhanallah, what did Nabi alayhi salam say? We all know the hadith that one sunnah that you practice in a time of evil and corruption, you'll get the reward of 100 martyrs. You go into a non-Muslim environment, you go into a university environment, and you find, mashallah, you find the young brother with a beard on his face, with a topi on his head, in that hostile environment where you have become a victim to in an environment of hostility, but you are reviving the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole intention should become, let me be an ambassador, to this beautiful deen.
Yes, Ma, I think that's the most important part. You've made a very important point with regards to, being the ambassador of deen and representing the deen with regards to our career choices, choosing. And, there are many examples and role models we can go through if we look in today's times. With people in, professionals that are representing the deen, that are really doing some sterling work in their communities as well, whilst they hold high profiles in society as well. Ma Ismail, with regards to the options for those who do not meet the criteria to study in tertiary institutes, what are their options?
Okay, firstly, there is this understanding, there is the mindset that if I am not entered or accepted at a university or for tertiary studies, etc., then it would not be possible for me to earn an income, to receive a paycheck, etc. Understand that sustenance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sustenance is not dependent on the university. Sustenance is not dependent on tertiary studies. Sustenance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah ta'ala has mentioned, Allahu yabsutur rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir, that He makes easy, He provides for those who He wishes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do so. So it's not dependent on studying in a university or studying tertiary studies. Yes, it might be a means of earning sustenance, of earning an income. In this time and age, I personally know of individuals who have not qualified, who have not studied at universities or went through the normal process, and they are running multi-million rand businesses from home. From the comfort of their homes, they are running these businesses. They have no strict schedules. They work whenever they feel like working, whenever they want to work, etc. They run businesses from home. They have no qualifications. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that from the comfort of their home, they are earning an income, they are earning their rozi. So this mindset of sustenance being dependent on the degree, that needs to change. We need to have firm conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that irrespective of the circumstance, of course we have to adopt the means, but irrespective, at the end of the day, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that yaqeen and conviction has to be made. And at the same time, we need to make effort. We need to make effort. We should not, if we do not pass the examination, we do not pass those studies, there are many options. In fact, we live in a time and an age where a person can study anything and everything online. all the studies, all the entire curriculum, the entire syllabus of any subject can be found online free of charge. Yes, of course, the person might not receive a degree, a certification, etc. But whatever you want to study, whatever you want to learn, everything is available. So there's no excuse to sit back and lay back. And we've noticed many in many marriages, in fact, just to divert a little from the question, marriages are breaking down on the fact that a man does not have a job. The man is not providing. What happens then? He loses his job. He sits at home for a few years. A few years pass by, and it brings strain on the marriage, and marriages split. Marriages do not last for this particular reason. Whereas there's no excuse. If a person wants to make a difference, if a person wants to take a step, whereas it's an obligation on him to seek halal sustenance and a halal income, then he would make the difference, he would make the change. So let us not be discouraged if we do not pass the phase or we do not pass those examinations. While making an effort, let us have yaqeen and conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is the ultimate provider and He will provide in any situation.
Yes, that is the ultimate, and we have to put our trust in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to do that. Ma Muhammad, with regards to, you know, those who are doing the writing the final matric exams, you know, they say this is the biggest exam that they will ever write. And what is the advice for, would you share for those who do not pass, who did not pass the matric, and for those who, you know, if they do not pass the matric, Allah make every student successful, what are their options?
Okay, with regards to success and failure in examination, like Molana had, you know, rightfully pointed out, we know of students, you know, who were super intelligent during the academic career, yet they have become absolute and total failures, you know, in taking that knowledge that they have and passing it on. Many of them are sitting without jobs. On the other hand, end of the day, it is the system of Allah. وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ رِزْقَ لِعِبَادِ Allah Ta'ala has decided how much you were going to get, at what stage you're going to get this. So in terms of our education, we need to make a concerted effort. You cannot get up, you know, one the morning before the examination and then start flipping through your pages and think you're going to succeed and fly through the exam and achieve excellent results. Illa mashallah, with the exception of some students whom Allah has blessed them with great retaining abilities and capabilities. You know, they will tell you that, you know, I just start studying the nights before and, you know, Allah has blessed them. But that is abnormal. That is not a normal situation. Under normal circumstances, we need to make an effort. You need to study, you know, you need to burn the midnight oil. Make a concerted effort. Try to the best of your ability. And then, wa ufawwidu amri ila Allah. I hand my matter over to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is something which is vital. We need to turn to Allah. Now you find many a youngster, you know, they understand this at the time of examination. So you'll find him, mashallah, he is frequenting the masjid, he's making dua, he's giving sadaqah. But no sooner he achieves those excellent results, he forgets about Allah. So we need to turn to Allah every step of the way. You know, we need to make a concerted effort. You know, one is the physical preparation, you know, where we study to the best of our ability. After we have studied, thereafter we leave it to Allah. Whatever results you achieve thereafter, whether you get 90% or whether you get 60%, we all should try and maximize. We need to become the best, you know, in what we do. However, if after trying you haven't achieved what you wanted to, you know, it's not the end of the world. Ultimately, the ultimate exam is the day of Qiyamah. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازْ Ultimate entry into Jannah, that is the ultimate. And if a person is destined for the hellfire, of course, that is the greatest loss that a person can endure. You write the exam, you fail this year, you can rewrite, you can pass the following year. But if a person fails the exam of Akhirah, wallahi, that is the greatest loss. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ You know, you have lost both in this world and you have lost in Akhirat as well. So ultimately, we need to make an effort, you know, study to the best of your ability. Whatever you achieve after writing that exam, make shukr to the Almighty Allah. You try to the best of your ability. And if you have failed, there's always a second opportunity. opportunity. Let us not become despondent. And I think, Maulana, with just one other important aspect, we've dealt with this year previously as well, is that when students do not achieve results what they wanted to, then many of them, they go into a state of depression. Of course, this is a topic on its own that perhaps needs to be spoken about, where they don't achieve the results, and some of them have even resorted to suicide, unfortunately. And, this is something which, this is a topic that is not normally spoken about, but it is a reality. It's happening on the ground. So we need to put our trust and our reliance on Allah. I try to the best of my ability. I've achieved a certain mark, and inshallah be content and satisfied with that. And many a times as parents, we put a lot of pressure on our children that I want you to be first. I want you to come out first. I will not accept anything short of that. We all want the best for our children. But if your son has come out third, he's come out fourth in the class, let us encourage him. For many of us as parents, we never encourage our children. Unfortunately, we never encourage them. We always bring them down. What they do is never enough. So inshallah, let us try, from the side of the student, try to the best of your ability, inshallah. Study hard, give all your effort and your energy, and inshallah you will definitely succeed. From the side of the parents, let us encourage our children. If they have not achieved what you wanted them to achieve, they've tried their level best, let us encourage them, motivate them, and acknowledge them, inshallah.
Yes, that's a very important aspect and point, Mana, with regards to encouragement, we see many a times in this day and age, we see, what happens is that the child sees a lack of encouragement from the parents, and what happens is that now the child starts feeling despondent, the child feels, and many a times, even when they cannot love up, if the child made a mistake or the child never came out in the expected position, and then what happens is the child feels that now he's let down his parent, and like you said, that many a times it leads to suicide and other problems in life as well. Well, Ismail, with regards to making career choices, many a times people make career choices, they think that this would be the ideal career for me, I would fit into it perfectly. How does one avoid making the wrong career choice? And how can this affect a person's life?
Okay. Firstly, as discussed throughout the discussion, the ultimate is to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how does a person seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in choosing a career? Firstly, the career a person is choosing must be a Sharia compliant career. It must be a career which fulfills the requirements and conditions of the Sharia. For example, if a person is taking up a career and he is going to be involved in interest bearing transaction, he is going to be involved in haram activities, there are going to be a lot of intermingling with the opposite gender, etc. These factors need to be considered when choosing a career path. If a person puts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a person first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that income, whether it is a small income, whether it's a large income, there will be barakah, there will be blessings in that income, to the extent that if a person chooses a wrong career path, like mentioned, where he's involved in interest-bearing transactions, that will affect his entire life, whether it is his dunya or whether it is his akhirat, it will affect him throughout his life. So in such a circumstance, it will affect a person's salah, it will affect a person's zikr, a person's Quran, it will affect a person's marriage. It might be a large check, it might be a huge income, but there will be no barakah in it. It will affect his entire marital life, his family life, and there will be chaos. And many a times, when a person is experiencing difficulties in marriage, difficulties in family life, and you ask him the question, what is his career, what is his occupation, how is he earning an income, and a lot of the times there's doubtful wealth, there's haram wealth, there's avenues where a person did not ask and seek clarification from the ulama, is earning such an income halal, the money that I am earning from this company, is it halal or not? Maybe, later on in life these questions arise 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line. Then it is too late for a person to change. It becomes difficult for a person to change, to leave his occupation and find another occupation. So at the outset, a person must identify a Sharia compliant career, a career which fulfills the requirements of the Sharia. So if a person chose a Sharia compliant career, second, by doing that, he will not only be benefiting himself, his family, he will be benefiting the community at large, he would be benefiting the Muslim Ummah. Like was discussed, we need experts in every field, lawyers, attorneys, advocates, medical practitioners, etc. How beautiful would it be where you would find a professional who is fully flavored with Sharia, who dresses in the proper garb, who gives the correct advices. In our Sharia, a lot of times it depends, for example, the advice that the ulama, the muftis give. Let's say, for example, medication. Now, if the ulama are not generally doctors, are not experts in the medical field, at times when they are asked on certain medical queries, what to do, how to do, at the end of the advice, the ulama state that it would depend on the advice of an upright, trustworthy, righteous Muslim doctor. Now, if we don't have those doctors, what will happen? It will make it difficult for the entire Muslim community. So, as was mentioned, while studying the career, we must have the Islamic knowledge related to that particular career. In doing so, it will benefit us and the entire Ummah at large.
Yes, indeed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of those who are choosing careers, especially, and let them choose a career according to what the deen prescribes and what they can abide to by the Shariat, inshallah. Ma, as we come to the end of today's panel discussion, Ma Muhammad, your closing comments today, inshallah.
Okay, Mulana, just some thoughts that cross the mind. You know, one is to pursue a career in university. We know that many of our children or many of our youth, first of all, the parents do not have the ability of sending the children to tertiary institutions like universities and colleges due to the financial constraints. And one is sometimes our children, they do not excel in school. They don't achieve the results that grants them an opportunity to further their studies academically. We find that something that we shouldn't forget. We look in our homes today, you need plumbers, you need electricians, you need people to do basic, what we consider, to do basic things. And this is something which is an excellent, which you can pursue a career in that. Become an electrician, become a plumber, become somebody who can serve humanity, and we all need that. I mean, in our homes, people need a plumber, you need something happens with your lights at home, you need an electrician. There are things that we cannot do ourselves. So we need experts in different fields. So I think apart from, if a student doesn't have that ability or he's not blessed with an opportunity to enroll into a tertiary institution, then there's absolutely nothing wrong for him to, become a mechanic, for example, to become a plumber, to become an electrician. And these are, although it is looked as though it is inferior in terms of, in relation to a student, who's enrolled in a tertiary institution, but we find, alhamdulillah, there are many of our brothers, who have pursued a career of becoming an electrician or becoming a plumber, and they have excelled. Allah has blessed them. Allah has blessed them immensely. So I think just one or two aspects I would just like to speak about. Number one is that we need to correct our intention. Whatever we do, do it for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Our intention should be to serve humanity. To serve humanity, add value to someone's life. This is a fundamental ingredient of our iman. This is an important component of our faith. Whatever we do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah. End of the day, my akhirah, that is the ultimate goal. Let us leave behind a positive legacy. Alhamdulillah, how many medical doctors are there, out there who, adopt the Islamic garb? They've got such taqwa in their lives, mashallah. Allah has blessed them with such qualities, such amazing akhlaq. And, we find non-Muslims who visit these Muslim doctors, they are totally
very impressed and blown away by the akhlaq and the character of these Muslim doctors. You know, sometimes you find a person tells you that, you know, brother, I visited a Muslim attorney, I visited a Muslim doctor, and I was totally impressed, and he showed me the beauty of Islam. So we need to become ambassadors to this beautiful deen. Our message is, whichever career you choose, whichever path you choose, the ultimate should be the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We need to become ambassadors to this beautiful deen. Let us add value to our community, add value to our society. It's not a matter of just earning money and enriching ourselves and filling our bank accounts, but let us see how we can empower our families, empower those around us. And you know, what is also encouraged is that there are many professionals in, you know, in our communities. You know, we need to encourage, if we see a certain youngster, you know, has a certain ability, we need to encourage him, you know, to go into that field. If we find that, you know, this is something that he shouldn't be venturing out into, we need to give him our honest opinion. Like today, you go to a, you know, many a times it happens, a person is a doctor, a youngster comes to him, that uncle, Ken, what's your opinion? No, no, this is something you should refrain from. And I think one other aspect that I would like to speak about, you know, is that when you are pursuing a career, we need to look at the long-term implications of it. Sometimes, you know, it takes a toll on one's marriage. Students get married whilst they are still studying, and then you need to do your internship. The wife is sitting somewhere, husband is sitting somewhere. The wife is also academic, the husband is also academic. They barely get time to spend together, and this has a negative impact, you know, on the marriage. But like we had mentioned, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, make it easy, inshallah, you know, for our youth. Allah ta'ala, make them successful in all their endeavors. So there are many opportunities. You can go to tertiary institute, go to a university, you know, achieve and become someone. But at the same time, for those who have not achieved those results that warrant you, that grant you entry into a tertiary institution, there are other opportunities that we have. You know, alhamdulillah, to, you know, to become a plumber, to become an electrician. You know, so many of our youth, they, you know, they go into in, into the family business. But here again, we need to encourage our children. You know, we started from the bottom. Unfortunately, our children are given everything from the very outset. So we need to make them understand what is the value of money. Give them their encouragement, their spells, show them that support, and let us motivate them and acknowledge, you know, what they achieve in this world.
Ma jazakallahu khairan. Ma Ismail, your closing comments for today's discussion.
Okay. This life is a life of test, and an individual is going to be tested on every step in his life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. Shaitan will always, he will always put the fear in you of poverty, and he will encourage you to do evil. He will encourage you to do shameless acts. Now, if a person has the correct conviction and the correct yaqeen that sustenance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is his weapon against shaitan, this is his weapon against the devil. And the devil would not then be able to take him away from the straight path. In terms of earning a livelihood, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged that if one of you were to carry a bundle of firewood on his back and sell it, that would be better than asking a man who may or may not give him something. So we're being encouraged not to lay back and be lazy, but rather to have a vision, rather to earn a halal sustenance, earn halal rozi, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in another hadith, and this hadith has been recorded in Mishkat Sharif. Do not undertake an involvement that would hinder your practice on religion. So whatever you do, whether it is work related, whether it is family related, do not undertake it if it's going to hinder practicing your religion. For example, a person is undertaking a career, he needs to ask himself the question, I am working from 8 to 5 or 8 to 4, whatever the time might be. Is my boss going to give me permission and the time to perform my salah on its prescribed time? Am I going to be able to dress appropriately as a Muslim? Am I going to be allowed and permitted to keep a beard? So on and so forth. These questions must be put forward. If these questions are answered correctly and these boxes are ticked, then a person can go ahead and there will be barakah in it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist such a person. It's a noble act that a person endeavors, he makes an effort to earn for himself, for his family, rather than asking of people. We as Muslims, as an ummah, we are an ummah naturally that gives, not an ummah naturally that takes. We are not a taking ummah, we are a giving ummah. So that needs to inspire us. We need to give. How do we give? We give first to ourselves, we give to our family, and we give to the entire ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq.
Ameen. Ma Muhammad, Ma Ismail, we say Jazakallah khairan to both of you all for the wonderful discussion as well as the beautiful advices given to you.
Barakallahu feekum, Munana.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Yes, and that was Ma Muhammad and Ma Ismail. Masa, both of them giving us wonderful advices with regards to, you know, showing us and the correct way of choosing a career, as well as what choices should be made and how should we align ourselves. For those students who are writing, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah make it easy for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them all successful. And for those who will pass their exams, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the ability and the tawfiq to choose the right career that will be in accordance to the commands of Allah, and that will make them better citizens in society, people who will represent the Muslim Ummah at large, and will be people that will, you know, contribute to the society, making it a better society at large. And for those who may fail or, you know, may have not passed the matric previously, there's still hope for you. There is still something that you can do. Remember that Allah, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can achieve. Turn to Allah, make dua unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's always a chance to redo. There is always a chance to make amends for something that you may have not done, and it's never too late to start. We can always start. You know, there are many examples around the world where we look at people, you know, achieving things at the latter ages as well. So let us try. Let us remember that you know, the only time we grow old is when we stop learning. So let us carry on, continue learning, continue empowering ourselves, be it in deen or dunya. However, let us pay more attention to our deen. Let us pay more attention to uplifting ourselves in our deen, knowing more about our deen. When we shall do this, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall make us successful in this world, qabr, and akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to practice upon what we have heard and implement the commands of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. We come to the end of today's panel discussion. From myself and my engineer brother Tahir, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.